ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Hare Krishna. So I did not have time to prepare the PowerPoint, so I'm just going to go through the verses and then some important points from Prabhupada purports. So the section, this is the second canto, chapter 2, Lord in the Heart. The previous section is how the yogi actually liberates his soul from the body, you know, how he quits his body by going through the Brahmarandhra or the cerebral hole. So this section from 22 to 31 is going to describe about Lord Sukadeva Goswami is describing how the soul, after leaving the body, how it, you know, transports, how it actually, you know, travels through different planets and finally reaches the final destination of Vaikuntha or the spiritual sky. So I'm just going to read, in the interest of time, I'm going to read only the translation. However, O King, if a yogi maintains a desire for improved material enjoyments like transference to the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, or the achievement of the eightfold perfections, travel in outer space with the Vaihayashash, or a situation in one of the millions of planets, then he has to take away with him the materially molded mind and senses. So, in the previous section, we discussed how a person liberates from this body. So, that is actually pure spirit soul goes to the spiritual world. But if somebody is not completely purely devoted and who is not liberated, liberated means who is not actually, you know, liberated from the, you know, materialistic contamination such as mind and senses, those kinds of people, right, they either actually go to different planetary systems, right, or they actually achieve perfections. So this is talking about, you know, going to Swargaloka or, you know, either higher planets. Second is, you know, somebody wants to achieve perfections, siddhis, eight kinds of perfections, or somebody wants to just travel to millions, there are millions of planets and they can actually even go to those kinds of planets. But for these three kinds of destination, the person's mind and the senses are still, they have to carry that, and they are not purely, completely purified. They are actually taking their mind and senses, subtle body. So in the purport, Prabhupada actually in the first paragraph actually details of the eight, you know, mystic perfections, the Ashta Siddhis. So there are different kinds of siddhis, and he told there is this Ashtanga Yoga. One can actually perform this Ashtanga Yoga and then achieve these perfections. So that is actually mechanical means. But the devotee who have actually transported into these planets, there is actually Maharloka or Siddhaloka. If anybody goes to those planets, all these perfections are automatic. They don't have to separately endeavor for it. And Prabhupada actually says how they can actually travel. Once they go into those kinds of planets, they can actually travel not with the mechanical means, they can actually travel by their mind. Our Brahma Samhita also, Lord Brahma says, right? What is it? What's the shloka? Vayu, Vayu Manasa, what is it?
Vayu
Ratapi Manaso, Munipungavano, Sopyasthi Yatprabhati Simni Avichintitvai. So, the yogi is actually travel through two kinds of vehicles. One is Vayu, another is mind. So, they can travel through their mind or they can travel through their prana, life air. The prana is actually pranayama. Through pranayama or through the mind, they can actually travel millions and millions of miles like that. So, but Prabhupada actually says all these eight kinds of mystic perfections, that is actually still its material. So, Prabhupada says, the prime indication of materialistic mind is to lord it over the material world, and all the siddhis mentioned above, the features, all are features of dominion over the material, the world. So basically, even if somebody is trying to get all these eight siddhis, but all these eight siddhis is nothing but material. It's to control the material energy. Right now we are controlling grass level, but once you get the siddhis, you can actually control subtly, right? Prapti siddhi, you know, you can get something from somewhere else, or you can become lighter than the lighters, you can fly, you can walk on the water, and you can, somebody can catch, you know, the sun rays, and they can walk on the sun rays. So these are all different kinds of siddhis, but still it is actually in the material realm. But the devotee, he is not interested in these kinds of perfections, and the devotee wants to be predominated by the predominator of, that is Krishna himself, right? And Prabhupada actually also says, in the modern, the materialistic society, people want to go and explore everything physically. So, if you ask anybody, right, oh, we are traveling to East Coast, we are traveling to Eastern countries, they want to go physically and experience. But the yogis, actually, they don't have to go physically. They can experience everything through their mind. They don't have to go physically. But this process, even if one liberates from this body, but still he carries the subtle body, which is mind and senses, and he goes to either higher planets, but still it is in the material realm only, and the devotees do not aspire for that. And Prabhupada actually says, what is the remedy for devotees? We also have mind, we also have senses. So mind and senses need to be engaged in the service of the Lord. And what is the best engagement? What Prabhupada has given us? Prabhupada has given us International Society for Krishna Consciousness to engage our mind, body and senses in Krishna's service. Right? How do you engage our mind? By chanting. How do you engage our senses? Yes, by eyes you are looking at the darshan of the deities. You know, nose we are smelling the flower offered to the Lord. Tongue we are offering, no? We are taking prasadam. Ears we are actually hearing the holy name, you know, hearing Krishna Katha. And then tongue we are speaking, right? And body cleansing the temple, right? Prabhupada has given, throughout the entire world, we have the same schedule, right? Coming from Mangala Arati, all the regulated programs is to engage our mind and senses in the service of the Lord. By doing that, this contamination of material mind and senses will be purified. The transcendentalists are concerned with the spiritual body. As such, by the strength of their devotional service, austerities, mystic power and transcendental knowledge, their movements are unrestricted within and beyond the material worlds. The fruity workers or the gross materialists can never move in such an unrestricted manner. So, here, in the previous verse we talked about, they can travel through their mind and through their air, like in a vayu. But their movement is restricted only. They can only move within this material realm. But those transcendentalists who are really interested in spiritual like realization, right? Spiritual body, not about the material body, they can actually travel everywhere. They are not restricted. What is the example?
Narad Muni,
and also Prabhupada quotes Durvasa Muni. Narada Muni is completely spiritual, transcendental. He is a devotee. One is devotee, another one is impersonalist. But still he also actually can travel, right, through his mystic perfection. But he is also not interested in materialism. So basically Krishna, Prabhupada is giving two examples. One is this, you know, devotee, another one is a, you know, yogi, mystic yogi. You know, how they can travel. And Prabhupada says clearly that none of the materialistic, you know, advancement, they can travel like what the transcendental spacemen like Narada Muni and Durvasa Muni, they can travel anywhere with the within the fraction of a second they can be in Vaikuntha, within the fraction of a second they can go to even hellish planets and preach. Yes.
So Narada Muni has a spiritual body as we read in first canto, but Durvasa Muni also has a spiritual body.
Durvasa Muni, I don't know how to answer. Durvasa Muni went to Vaikuntha.
Yeah,
he but then
on
yeah.
His chest and all that.
I'm not sure. Narada Muni has a spiritual body. I don't know if anybody wants to.
Balaram Lila. That's how we can travel in material world. So Durvasa Muni may not have a spiritual body, but he is empowered to travel across realms.
Maybe.
Because he went to Vaikuntha, right? He went through the seven coverings, first eight coverings of the universe.
Yep. Prabhupada says he is a mystic, so he is not a devotee. So I don't know what's his body, whether it's spiritual. Maybe he is spiritually
realized. Hiranyakashipu also went to look for Vishnu, right? After his brother was killed. So there is some special context.
The person who has access to Lord Vishnu is beyond mystic, right? He is also a devotee.
Not necessarily.
Hmm?
Not necessarily. You can see Krishna, but you cannot accept Krishna.
Hmm.
Right? Hiranyakashipu saw Krishna and Narasingadev, but he didn't accept. Just because you are seeing doesn't mean that you know. So, O King, when such a mystic passes over the Milky Way by the illuminating Sushumna to reach the highest planet, Brahmaloka, he goes first to the Vaishvanara, the planet of the deity of fire, wherein he becomes completely cleansed of all contaminations, and thereafter he still goes higher to the circle of Shishumara to relate with Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead. So, now, Sukadeva Goswami talks about two kinds of people. One, who still has material desires, who actually goes with the materialistic mind and senses to go to different planets. Second, he talked about those who are interested in spiritual body. They are actually not going into this different planet. Their movement is unrestricted. They can go wherever they want. Now, after the soul leaves, how the soul is actually, the yogi actually transmigrates from earthly planet all the way to different planetary systems, and how finally he reaches the spiritual sky. That is what is being explained now. So he says, first, after leaving this planet, you go into there is a planet called Vaishvanara. Vaishvanara is actually, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Vaishvanaro Bhudva Pranina Deha Masrita Prana Pana Samayakta Pacham Venam Chaturvidam. Whatever food we eat, how it's being digested? It's being digested because of the Vaishvanara fire. Vaishvanara is a fire, and that fire, Krishna says, that's me. So this Vaishvanara planet is a planet of, you know, fire, and the soul goes there and he gets cleansed of all the contamination. And then he goes fire, you know, further he goes higher, you know, through the Sishumara. Sishumara is the circle of the Dhruva planet, or it's actually the hub of the entire universe. And then he goes to associate with Lord Hari. In that, actually, Prabhupada says, on the Vaishnava Loka, the yogi becomes completely cleansed of all dirty sins acquired when were in contact with the material world. The Milky Way in the sky is indicated herein as the way leading to Brahmaloka, the highest planet of the universe. This Sushumara planet is the pivot of the turning of the complete universe and is called navel of Vishnu, Garbhodaksha Vishnu. The yogi alone goes beyond the circle of Sushumara and attains the planet Maharaloka, wherein purified saints like Bhrigu Muni enjoy a duration of 4,300,000,000,000 years, solar years. This planet is worshipable even for the saints who are transcendentally situated. So now the soul, after from the Vaishnava planet, he goes to Maharaloka, and the lifespan in Maharaloka is 4,300,000,000 solar years, and he says it's even worshipped by the transcendental persons. At the time of the final devastation of the complete universe, the end of the duration of Brahma's life, a flame fire emanates from the mouth of Ananta from the bottom of the universe. The yogi sees all the planets of the universe burning to ashes, and thus he leaves for Satyaloka by airplanes used by great purified souls. The duration of life in Satyaloka is calculated to be 15,480,000,000,000 years.
And Brahma's is 311 trillion years.
Brahma's age is 311,040,000,000,000 years.
So not all souls live that long there either. Hmm.
Yeah. So So the point here is, at the end of Brahma's life, the fire comes from Anantadeva. Anantadeva is in
bottom of
the planet, the bottom of the Garbhoda Goshen, right? And basically he's like from Padala. So when he, you know, emanates the fire from his mouth, then all the planets are burning into ashes. Then these souls who are in the Maharloka, they actually travel to Satyaloka. They travel to Satyaloka. In that planet of Satyaloka, there is neither bereavement nor old age nor death. There is no pain of any kind, and therefore there are no anxieties. Save that sometimes, due to consciousness, there is a feeling of compassion for those unaware of the process of devotional service who are subjected to unsurpassable miseries in the material world.
So, Prabhu, Abrahma Gona Loka, Punavartura Arjuna. So, there is no death here.
Yes, we discussed this in Radha Krishna, we also discussed. So, the people who reach there are pure souls, liberated souls, they are already liberated. So, in that sense, they don't have death. So, they will wait till the universe is annihilated and then they actually go back to, with Brahma, they go to spiritual sky. So, there may be chances that some souls may be, you know, they may want to come down, we don't know. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yeah, even if you go to topmost Brahmaloka, you have to come back again, right? But going to topmost Brahmaloka is not an easy thing. Only liberated souls can go there. So, until you reach there, still you have to come back. So, I think Radhakrishna will discuss that people who are there in the Brahmaloka already, they are actually liberated.
So, Maharloka also people are not liberated fully.
Just know what we said, read, people who are in Maharloka, when the devastation happens, they go to Satyaloka. And then when the Brahma's end of day comes, then they also go to Vaikuntha.
Those who like make that up till the point of devastation,
yes,
they are okay. I mean,
but
they are not able to
make up.
So, there may be souls who are coming down, I don't know. But this is what Radhakrishna told.
So, there is free will to come down if you want, up till Brahmaloka.
Obviously, because we know for, as a matter of fact, Indra goes to Brahmaloka and meets with Lord Brahma and everything, but Indra also so many times
makes
mistakes, comes down, right?
And Bhrigumuni, who was mentioned in the previous verse also, is capable of going there, but he periodically comes down to planet Earth.
That is actually what Prabhupada, what the Sukadeva Goswami is telling. No, it's because of
compassion. Okay.
That is not out of his own accord. So those souls there in the Satyaloka, they are completely free of any anxieties, right? They are fully meditating on the Lord, especially Magaraloka, Janaloka. They are all fully in meditation. If you read Brihad Bhavadamrita, right? Our Gopakumara travels, right? When he travels, when you go to Tapaloka, you know, Janaloka, they are all there, all the rishis and, you know. Why do you want to, you know, worried? Why are you so worried? Just meditate on the, you know, Supreme Vishnu, like that. But he's still not satisfied, and he actually goes further. Then he goes to Satyaloka, then he again prayers. This whole thing, Gopakumara also goes through this whole journey, like that. So the point is, in general, people who live in Satyaloka, they are liberated, and they are actually, when the whole planet, when the whole universe is going to be devastated, they actually go to Vaikuntha, like that.
I don't know, I heard this in some lecture or something, that even Lord Jesus Christ came down from Satyaloka. I don't know if anybody heard, sorry, at some lecture or somewhere.
Prabhupada said he was a pure soul, that's all we know, right?
Yeah, in some lecture only I heard that. No, this is not from outside, it's gone.
Okay.
Within.
He's too humble to admit
that. You remember this is coming with him.
Nithya Gauranga must have come from the Yoga Loka.
Things are beyond any comments.
To take you all back.
Nithya Gauranga goes from here and comes.
That's
what he does
in
Saturday morning.
Hare Krishna. So, the point Prabhupada actually emphasizes here is, the Vedic wisdom guides us to understanding our relationship with the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna and to act accordingly in order to achieve the desired result of returning back home, back to Godhead. But materialistic men do not understand this. They want to make a plan to become happy in a place where there is no happiness. For false happiness, they try to reach other planets, either by Vedic rituals or by spacecraft, but they should know for certain that any amount of materialistic adjustment for becoming happy in a place which is not meant for, which is meant for distress, cannot benefit the misguided man, because after all, the whole universe with all its paraphernalia will come to an end after a certain period. So Prabhupada's emphasizing point is devotees should aspire to go back to Godhead. We don't want to go into the heavenly planets, Maharloga, Janaloga, Tapaloga, Satyaloga. Even though there is no place, you know, there is no death and there is no misery, but still the devotee's aspiration is to go back to Godhead.
But if somebody doesn't complete their journey, they may come into family of pious men, or they may end up in one of these locals too.
That is always the case. But one time I was listening to Mukundata Prabhu. Mukundata Prabhu told, if you miss the boat, let's say we miss the boat now, then obviously for your pious activities, you may go to heavenly planets, you may go to Swargaloka, and you will be there for thousands and thousands of years. You finish and you come back. When you come back, there will be no devotees. No Hare Krishna, no ISKCON. So then, you are going to be in trouble. So the point is, that's why so many lectures Prabhupada emphasizes this lifetime. Finish off your business this lifetime and go back. No more chances. So we have to take this seriously, in all seriousness, that we want to finish the business this lifetime. Such an intelligent person surpasses all pangs of material existence, like birth, death, disease and old age. He is actually happy because he has no anxieties for material existence. But as a compassionate sympathizer, he feels unhappiness for the suffering materialistic men. And thus he occasionally comes before the materialistic men to teach them the necessity of going back to Godhead. So now we are talking about, you know, devotees, like Srila Prabhupada himself.
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada, he could have aramsay stayed in, you know, Radha Damodar Mandir temple. He could have chanted Hare Krishna and went. But he came all the way to America at the age of 70. For what? To show his compassion to deliver all the fallen souls. So because of Prabhupada, now we are actually getting the mercy. We are actually, you know, getting connected to Krishna consciousness. Even though I was there in India, even though born in a quote-unquote so-called Brahmin family, Pujari family, for me to see Bhagavad Gita in my hand, it took 27 years. Until the age of 27, I have not seen Bhagavad Gita in India, not in my village, not in Chennai, not in India, all the way after coming to America, right? In fact, in Tinagar, in Chennai, I was living on the street, you know, I'll go every day walk. I saw International Society for Krishna, okay, something, this is not for me. I don't know what it is. So many times I walked, right? I don't know. I've not seen any devotee, I've not seen anybody coming and giving a book. So the point is, Prabhupada came all the way. He knew that all these people will come to America. And
somebody told you in the bus one day, right? Some old man from India, he was telling, Prabhupada knew all of you were going to come to America, that's why he came first.
Prabhupada came, and because he wanted to give all of us, right? He gave this wisdom, and now throughout the world, everybody is receiving this. So this is specifically to be compassionate towards other souls and give. So all the bona fide acharyas preach this truth of returning home back to Godhead and warn men to make a false not to make a false plan for happiness in a place where their happiness is only a myth. It's a very strong statement. He says, you are trying to be happy here, but happiness is only a myth here. Now, as we speak yesterday, right, one of our devotees, Arun Srinivasan Prabhu, he was actually coming back from work. That all of a sudden he was just driving, he was there in a red light, somebody came from back, boom, hit him, and then, you know, he got really, you know, whiplash, and then he was about to get down and go and talk to the guy who hit him. The moment he got down and he walked, he collapsed. Because when he woke up, he was in the ambulance. He didn't know what's going on. Then they took him to, you know, emergency, and then they checked him everything out, and then they said nothing major. You still have some pain here, there, and then they put him in a neck thing, in a neck band, and they sent him. Then he came to temple. We don't know. This place is, we think everything is going good. Everything is going good, but actually nothing is going good here. At any time, anything can happen. So the whole point is, we think everything is pleasurable, but actually nothing is pleasurable here. We have to, a gentleman, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati always says, this material world is not a place for gentlemen. We just need to try to get out of this material world and try to help others to get out as well.
Gentleman goes into the toilet and quickly comes out.
Yeah. After reaching Satyaloka, the devotee is specifically able to incorporate it fearlessly by the subtle body in an identity similar to that of gross body, and one after another he gradually attains stages of existence from earthly to watery, fiery, glowing and airy until he reaches the ethereal stage. So this is actually after reaching Satya Loka, when the soul travels from, you know, from here to Vaishvanara Loka, then Jana Loka, then Makara Loka, then finally go to Satya Loka, gradually the body is actually changing. The bodies are from grass, it is actually going subtler and subtler. So
because those layers of the universe are also.
Yeah, that is even further. It's coming. I think next
Guru Guru says. To me, it seems like he's getting ready. That
yes.
Cross those layers also.
So basically, that's how we came in, and that's how we are going. So gradually, when Sukadeva Goswami explains further how we actually came in and how we are actually going out. So gradually, the grass coverings are shred down, and then gradually we are going to more subtle and subtler, and then finally the soul, spirit soul, will go back to the spiritual
so
world.
So when Vishnu Sutta has come for Ajamila, the body is changing also as they grab the soul?
I don't know.
Or maybe it is at just a soul level at
yeah.
that point.
I think Radha Krishna told.
Well,
he told.
This grass body remains here. Oh, Vishnu, the grass body remains here.
But the subtle body.
But the subtle body
yes.
also has to go through these changes.
Yes. So the more you go up, you have
this
the.
Is,
body.
This is all grass.
Right? All grass, okay.
Yeah, but then gradually. It will go to settle also, right?
Yeah.
When you go to see, when you go to, until he reaches the ethereal stage, he reaches when he goes to Satyaloka, I think maybe in the ethereal stage, in the Satyaloka, right?
But
after reaching Satyaloka, the devotee is specifically able to incorporate fearlessly by the subtle body in an identity similar to that of gross body, and one after another he gradually attains stages of existence from earthly. So basically, in the Satyaloka, he is actually reaching the ethereal stage. So Radha Krishna was basically, I don't understand, first of all, I'm not qualified because I don't know anything about this. All I'm just reading it from Prabhupada's purport, and Radha Krishna told, don't ask me anything, I'm not qualified. And we are not qualified here to go through, because we didn't go through. So we are just trying to understand from whatever Sukadeva Goswami says, whatever Prabhupada says. So we'll just, what is the process for us? The process for us is chanting Hare Krishna. So I'm not even doing that properly. So let no. I pray to all of you that please pray for me that, you know, I will chant properly, so that, you know, I can actually focus on the holy name. So he told, chanting, hearing, and doing service in the association of devotees. So that will only, that is the key focus for us. When you do all these things will automatically happen, right? Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, right? There are two kinds of passing away from this world. In the 8th chapter, attaining the Supreme, he says, one in light, one in darkness. The one who passes in light, he actually attains the spiritual world. One who passes in darkness, he comes back. But then immediately Arjuna has a question, oh, are what is going to happen to me? Am I going to pass in day or night? Then immediately Krishna says, don't worry. Naite Shruti Partha Janan, Yogi Mukhyati Kashana. The yogi is not bewildered whether he is going to pass away in day or night. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, a devotee doesn't care whether he goes by arrangement or by accident. Krishna is going to take care. So all this grass and subtle, right? All this will be taken care by Krishna. So according to Srila Jiva Goswami, all the universes are clustered together up and down, and each and every one of them is separately sevenfold covered. The watery portion is beyond the sevenfold coverings, and each covering is 10 times more expansive than the previous covering. The personality of Godhead who creates all such universes by his breathing period lies above the cluster of the universes. The water of the causal ocean is differently situated than the covering of water of the universe. The water that serves as covering of the universe is material, whereas the water of the causal ocean is spiritual. As such, the watery covering mentioned herein is considered to be the false egoistic covering of all living entities. And the gradual process of liberation from the material coverings, one after another as mentioned herein, is the gradual process of being liberated from false egoistic conceptions of the material gross body, and then being absorbed in the identification of the subtle body till the attainment of pure spiritual body in the absolute realm of the kingdom of God.
So is it, the watery covering is not gross then, it is subtle. Herein considered to be the false egoistic
yes,
covering.
So
the moment we uncover, then that watery covering doesn't bother us.
So the point is, the water, what we see here in grass level is different. The water we see in the elemental, Radha Krishna says, that is actually an elemental. So that is not grass, that is subtle. Because the more you go to the higher planets, it's subtle. But the coverings, earth, water, fire, air, ether, those are also even more subtle. Like that. Srila Sridhara Swami confirms that a part of the material nature after being initiated by the Lord is known as Mahatattva. A fractional portion of the Mahatattva is called false ego. A portion of the ego is the vibration of sound, and a portion of the sound is atmospheric air. A portion of the airy atmosphere is turned into forms, and the forms constitute the power of electricity or heat. Heat produces a smell of the aroma from the earth, and the grass earth is produced by such aroma. And all these combined together constitute the cosmic phenomenon. The extent of the cosmic phenomenon is calculated to be diametrically both ways 4 billion miles. Then the coverings of the universe begin. The first stratum of the covering is calculated to extend 80 million miles. And the subsequent coverings of the universe are respectively fire, effulgence, air and ether, one after another, such extending 10 times further than the previous. The fearless devotee of the Lord penetrates each one of them and ultimately reaches the absolute atmosphere where everything is of one and the same spiritual identity. Then the devotee enters one of the Vaikuntha planets where he assumes exactly the same form as the Lord and engages in the loving transcendental service of the Lord. This is the highest perfection of devotional life. Beyond this, there is nothing to be desired or achieved by the perfect yogi. So the point is, from grass, from subtle, from false, first Mahatattva, from Mahatattva false ego, from false ego intelligence, and then mind, right? And then what comes? Senses. In the senses also, first is what? Air, or basically ether. From ether sound, Krishna says, Kammano buddhi revacha. Right? Not kammano. What is it? Shabdake. The sound comes from the ether. And from air you come touching sensation. And then from fire you have form. And then from water you have
taste.
And then from earth you have smell. So in the reverse way, when the soul leaves, in the reverse way, everything actually from you leave, relieve from smell, then form, taste, form. So gradually you, in the reverse way, leave everything, and then finally you go to the spiritual world. So this is coming in and going out. So Radha Krishna told specifically in the fifth canto, this kinds of coverings, and how all these coverings and how the soul leaves, all these things are explained. I have not studied. The devotee thus surpasses the subtle objects of different senses like aroma by smelling, the palate by tasting, vision by seeing forms, touch by contacting, the vibrations of the ear by ethereal identification, and the sense organs by material activities we just discussed. Beyond the sky, there are subtle coverings resembling the elementary coverings of the universes. The grass coverings are a development of partial ingredients of the subtle causes. So the yogi or a devotee, along with the liquidation of the grass elements, relinquishes the subtle causes like aroma. By smelling, the pure spiritual spark, the living entity, thus becomes completely cleansed of all material contamination to become eligible for entrance into the kingdom of God. So the whole point is, one is relieving the grass body, no attachment to the grass body. Another one is also relieving all the subtle body. When we talk about grass body and subtle body, comes with also the sensation, with the what we enjoy, smelling, tasting, all the subtle objects also need to be. We have to be detached from all of this. The devotee, thus surpassing the gross and subtle forms of coverings, enters the plane of egoism, and in that status he merges the material modes of nature, ignorance and passion, in the point of neutralization, and thus he reaches egoism in goodness. After this, all egoism is merged in the Mahatattva, and he comes to the point of pure self-realization. So now, after relinquishing all these things, the ego, he is also relinquishing the ego into the Mahatattva. Don't ask me why, because I don't know. How the ego is actually merged into Mahatattva? I don't know. But that's how it's being done. When the soul leaves, the false ego is merged into Mahatattva.
Is it the same point where the yogis may say Tattvamasi and they think that they are God, and that point? Is that the same point, the egoism?
when they identify themselves as the spirit soul, instead of realizing them as the part and parcel of Krishna, they think that they are actually the Paramatma. They think they are supreme. So that is the misidentification. So here, Lord Sri Chaitanya therefore made it easier for the prospective devotee of the present age in the following specific manner. Ultimately, there is no difference in the result. So now, we need to be clear. Do we have to go through all these things? If you look at chapter 8, in the beginning, couple of verses, right, after the chapter, after the verse 7, right, Krishna says, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mahamanushmaru Yudhyacha. Now, think of me and fight. Remember me all the time and fight. After that, there are a couple of set verses, right, until 14. Maybe like from 9 till 14, right, Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram. One has to meditate the Lord as the all, you know, oldest, you know, like all the different qualities of Krishna. From that 9 till 13, he actually talks about this specific yoga. How, you know, the thing is called, what kind of yoga? I don't know. It's part of Ashtanga yoga,
right?
Buddhi
yoga, right?
No. It is actually, it's one type of yoga, or I think it's part of Ashtanga yoga only. How a person actually liberates himself. You know, he has to go, Om Idi Ekaksharam Brahma Vyaharan Mahamanishwaran. Everyone has to go and meditate, and he has to, you know, chant the Om. At the time of leaving his body, he has to remember the Om, and then finally, you know, he closes all his sense objects and then he goes. So he explains all these things. You know, and I was reading it, so it's, oh my god, it's so tough.
Ashtanga yoga only.
But then, 14th verse? 15 is the this one, right? Mahamapeti Punarjan. 8:14 Krishna says, Ananya Cheta Satatam Yomam Shmarati Nityasha Tasyaham Sulabhaparta Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. He says, anybody who is constantly devoted to me, constantly engaged in devotional service, for him I am very easy to attain. So you don't have to worry about all these different things. What is the problem with all these things?
Mechanical.
It's mechanical.
We are
on our own.
Prone to mistakes.
You can develop mystic siddhis.
We are actually disturbed by mystic siddhis, and we may be sidetracked. So many things are there. First of all, that process is not for this
age.
No, forget about, you know, going and sitting in the forest and meditating, all those things. It's impractical this nowadays, right? So Lord Chaitanya, out of his compassion, he came and he made the process very easier, and Prabhupada says the result is the same, right? So further Prabhupada explains, only a fortunate soul, actually Radhakrishna says fortunate means he is sincere, only a sincere seeker. Who is fortunate? one who is sincere, that sincere seeker, he gets out of the mercy of Guru and Krishna, he gets the bhakti lada beej, right? Brahmanda Brahmadikona Bhagyavan Jeeva Guru Krishna Prashada Paya Bhakti lada beej. So out of the compassion by Guru and Krishna, as a fortunate soul who is a sincere seeker, he gets the seed of bhakti in the heart. And now the seed of bhakti, by Prabhupada's mercy, you know, we got. Prabhupada actually gave us a Guru, and Prabhupada actually gave us Krishna. Right? Prabhupada gave both. Guru Krishna Prasada Bhakti Lata Beej. Only Guru and Krishna's mercy we get Bhakti Lata Beej. But Prabhupada has given both Krishna and Guru. Because we don't know who is Guru until we met Prabhupada. Only after reading Srila Prabhupada's books, then we know who is real Guru. Then only we know who is Krishna. So Prabhupada is actually in a very unique position. He gave us both Guru and Krishna. And Prabhupada actually in the purport very nicely explains that how we should actually focus on our chanting. So all these technical details we are reading from Bhagavatam, but our focus should be, Prabhupada says the result is the same, now the process is simple, but the seed of the bhakti is there in your heart, and now we need to actually how to water it by chanting. So then Prabhupada goes in very detail how three types of chanting: Nama Parad, Nama Bas, and Shuddhanam. Actually, I am not qualified to speak here because I am still in Namaparada state. Maybe some of you here, maybe Madhav Gauranga Prabhu, Mataji, one of you can speak on at least, you know, this chanting, because I am not.
Madhav Gauranga Prabhu,
I am below that.
So the point is, Prabhupada actually emphasizing that we have to get out of this Namaparada state. and go into the, at least the Namabhasa stage. Even if you go to Namabhasa stage, all you are actually relieved from all the material miseries. Then Prabhupada actually emphasizes that during the chanting process, there's 8 things we need to consider. Offense by one at the feet of a pure devotee may be likened to the mad elephant who devastates the very good garden in the it enters. So basically, this whole thing is like a garden. Now, seed of bhakti is there, now the garden is growing. Now we need to actually protect the garden. We don't want to let the mad elephant come. If the mad elephant comes, it will destroy. So that is actually Vaishnava Aparadha. So, all of you please forgive me. I know that knowingly also I have done so many offenses. You know, Vaishnavas are Karuna Sindhu, so please be merciful to me and please forgive me. You know, because next week I will be gone.
Laughing.
Next week I am going, so please forgive me before I leave. And then one must be very careful to guard himself against such offenses at the feet of pure devotees, just as one protects the creeper by all around fencing. It so happens that by watering process, some weeds are also grow. Like when we are watering the garden, you know, when we are at home, you know, the grass, we have to all the time, you know, mow, do all these things, and then, you know, so many weeds come out. And then we go put weed killer, this thing, that thing, still weed come out. Right? So many weeds come out. So unless and until we pull out the weeds, so instead of, you know, when we water, instead of growing the creeper, we are going to grow the weeds. So we have so many unnecessary habits. Actually, these weeds are material enjoyment, merging of the self into the absolute, without separate individuality, and many other desires in the field of religion, economic development, sense gratification, emancipation. Mm-hmm. There are many other weeds like disobedience to the tenets of the revealed scriptures, unnecessary engagements, mm-hmm. killing animals, hankering after material gain, prestige and adoration. I know for sure where I stand. So, you know, hankering after material gain, prestige and adoration, these are also weeds. So we have to, one, you know, as devotees we need to actually be very cautious of not falling trapped into all these different weeds. If sufficient care is not taken, then watering process may only help breed the weeds, stunting the healthy growth of the main creeper and resulting in no fructification of the ultimate goal, love of God. I have been chanting for last almost 12 years. I'm still in, you know, not even properly regulated, not even properly hearing. I was listening to Radhakrishna's lecture and he asked during the lecture, how many of you stop and, you know, rethink, hey, I'm not doing properly, let me chant properly. How many of you are doing it? I'm not doing it. So it's a reset button now. You know, I know a couple of devotees here who chant nicely, at least who try to chant nicely. Please give your blessings so that, you know, I will also chant
the problem
properly.
If stopping is, then it will be in stopping mode only.
That is true, but we don't want to be like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he is chanting, even if one mantra he is not focusing, immediately he will reset the round, rechant the round. If you do like that, we will end up the whole day chanting only.
No, I have
what stopping is means like you are actually praying to Namaprabhu that, okay, I didn't focus, let me actually.
Basically, you are chanting Hare Krishna, you are trying to hear, but then your mind goes somewhere, right? Your mind is wandering somewhere else, but then, you know, immediately realize, you know, mind is going somewhere else, just stop and bring it back, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, right? The yogi should, wherever the mind is wandering, he has to bring it back so that he can actually focus on meditation. So similarly, we have to bring it back. So mind will always, it's a constant battle, right? When if somebody says, oh, chanting is very nice, so that means mano rate nas, we are actually riding in the chariot of the mind, right? When standing is not, you know, when we feel chanting is not good, that means we are fighting with our mind. So Radhakrishna told, your mind, if you don't train, if you don't fight, your mind will take us for a ride. So we have to really fight with the mind and try to bring back mind to the chanting. The devotee must therefore be very careful to uproot the different weeds in the very beginning. Only then there will be healthy growth of the main creeper and not be stunted. And by so doing, the devotee is able to release the fruit of love of God and thus live practically with Lord Krishna even in this life and be able to see Lord in every step. The highest perfection of life is to enjoy life constantly in association with the Lord, and one who can relish this does not aspire after any temporary enjoyment of the material world via other media. So if we are attracted to you know, different kinds of enjoyment other than this, which actually I am. So basically I know where I stand. So please, as devotees, well, actually Radhakrishna told, it's not very easy. We cannot do it alone. We need each one of us help. We have to help each other. So knowing where I stand, knowing where my distractions are, I sincerely beg to all of you to please pray for me.
And
I'm going away. I won't be here. So wherever you are, so please pray for me.
Can you please pray for us, Prabhu?
Sure. I pray to Shri Gaurnathai for all, you know, all of you to sincerely serve Srila Prabhupada and chant nicely and become pure devotees and go back to God at this lifetime. This is a wonderful verse. We will recite this verse.
Anandamayomasami Yetam gatim bhavatim gatoya Savai punareha sashajatimya.
You can read books.
Only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead in complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. Whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection is never again attracted by this material world and he never returns.
So this is very important sloka. Tenatmanatmanam upaiti shantam anandam anandamayo vasane. Yetam gadim bhagavatim gathoya sa vai punar neha visajjatenga. This is shantam and anandam. Shantam means peacefulness. Ananda means happiness. So peacefulness and happiness can be attained only by pure devotees. Right? Why? Why not other spiritualists cannot attain peace and happiness? Yes. So Siddhiya. So some other desire. So Siddhi, Buddhi, Mukti, Kami, Sakale Ashanta, Krishna, Bhakta, Nishkama, Atayeva Shanta. So there is no other desire. Only pure devotee, his only desire is to please Krishna. Right? Then he doesn't have any other desire. When you don't have any other desire, what is it? What is the materialistic platform? Materialistic platform is Boga, Tyaga. Right? Vicha, Dvesha. And then what do we have? Hankering and lamentation. Right? So all the others are in the material platform. Siddhigami, attaining mystic perfection. No, Muktigami, and then Bhuktigami. All are in the materialistic platform, so one cannot have real peace. But only purified soul, a devotee, can be completely peaceful and completely having bliss. And then he says, Etam Gatim Bhagavatim. So this is actually the path, Bhagavat Gatim, the ultimate goal by the Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma means, so the impersonalist, they cannot relish this. Why? Because they don't accept Bhagavatam, they don't accept Bhagavan. Because they don't accept Bhagavan, the spirit soul by constitution is servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarupohe Krishna Nityadas. So the spirit soul by constitution is servant of Krishna. Unless and until the spirit soul is engaged in his constitutional position as servant of Krishna, he is not going to be satisfied. Only in that position he can be satisfied. So the impersonalist, he is trying to be the Lord himself, or he is trying to be one of the particle in the Brahma Jyoti. But what happens? Because he is not in his original position. The spirit soul by nature, anandamayo abhyasat, by nature he wants, he is pleasure seeking. But in that Brahma Jyoti, only he is relieved from material miseries. He knows that he is eternal, sat. but he doesn't know anything to do with Ananda. So again he has to come down. So there is beautiful reference. So this is from the 10th canto, actually the prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb. So these two shlokas are very important. O lotus eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nations, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajanas, great saints, sages and devotees. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nations as easily as one steps over the hoof print of a calf. So, this is not the same verse what we already think about. When I read this verse, I thought this is the one we talked about. We often Prabhupada quotes.
Yeah.
The often Prabhupada quotes one is Padam Padam Yatvi Padam Natesham, right? Vatsa Padam. So that verse is different, but there is a similar verse. So this is the verse by the demigods praying to Krishna when the Krishna is in the womb of Devaki. So what they say, when somebody meditates on the lotus feet of Krishna, right? So then the lotus feet of Krishna becomes the boat by which they can actually cross the ocean of nations. By the simple process, one can cross the ocean of nations as easily as one steps over the calf's footprint. If there's ocean, we cannot cross over by swimming. Even an Olympic champion cannot cross, he will drown. But if there is a boat, he can be saved. So similarly, anybody who has taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, immediately he is on a boat. He is actually jumping over the entire materialistic existence as jumping over the calf's footprint. Calf is tiny, and the calf's hoof is even more tiny. And the calf's footprint, when there is rain, yesterday was so much rain, but if it is in India, right, so many calves will be walking around. When, if you go in the mud, you can see there is a little puddle of water. When you are walking, if you see a little puddle, you can just jump over. So similarly, a person who has taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, he can actually cross over. So what is coming next is very important. 31st shloka. Oh, internet is not working. Yeah, so E Anye Aravindaksha Vimukta Maninaha Tvai Ashta Bhavas Avishuddha Buddhayaha Aruhya Krichrena Param Padam Tadaha Padanti Adaha Anadrita Ishma Dangrayaha. This is shloka. E Anye. So he talked about devotees who took shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. What about others? E Anye, all the other people. Aravindaksha Vimukta Maninaha, those who do not take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, they think themselves they are liberated. Vimukta Maninaha. Vimukta means one who is liberated. Maninaha means one who thinks himself as liberated. Those people who think themselves liberated, who do not take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, right? Tvai Asta Bhavat Avishuddha Buddhaya, their intelligence is actually Avishuddha Buddhaya, their intelligence is contaminated. What happens? Aruhya Krichrena Parampadam Tata. They even go up to, we talked about all these planets, Vaishvanara, Janaloka, Maharaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. Even you go all the way up, you can actually even go up to the spiritual sky. As a Brahma Jyoti, you can be one of the spot in the Brahma Jyoti, one who attains Brahma Jyoti. Aruhya Krichrena Parampadam Tata. Even you go up to the spiritual sky, Padanti Adaha, you will fall down. Why? Anadrita Ishmatangrayaha. Anadrita. Anada. Who is Anada? Anada means one who has no shelter. Anadrita Ishmatangrayaha. One who has not taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, even if he attains the Brahma Jyoti, he will fall down. Padanti Adaha. So what is the lesson for us? The lesson for us is we have to be attached to the Lord's lotus feet. So the deity worship is very, very important. That you worship deities nicely. Yeah. There is a beautiful prayer by Kulasekaradwar. Kulasekaradwar says, Mukunda Murdna Pranipatya Yache Bhavanta Mekanta Miyanta Martam Avismrititva Charanara Vinde Bhave Bhave Mestu Bhavat Prasadat. He says, Oh Mukunda, I bow down to you. My only request, my humble request is that let me remember your lotus feet birth after birth. Mukunda Murdana Pranipati Ache, I am begging at your lotus feet. Why? What do I need? I always want to remember your lotus feet. Avismriti Charanaravinde, I don't want to forget your lotus feet. Avismritva Charanaravinde, Bhave Bhave Mestu Bhavat Prasada. By your mercy, he is telling, not my own endeavor, I cannot remember your lotus feet, only by your mercy. Only when you give your mercy to me, I can remember your lotus feet. Then now, please be merciful unto me. I am begging. This is my only wish. What is my only wish? Please fulfill this wish. What? Let me not forget your lotus feet, no matter how many births I take. Why? If you remember the lotus feet of Krishna, this is what happens. Samasritaya ye pada pallavam. Just few minutes, Babaji. This is what to finish. సమాశ్రద ఏ పద పల్లవం ప్లవం మహత్పదం పుణ్య యశో మురారే భవాంబుదిర్ వత్సపదం పరంపదం పదం పదం యత్విపదాం తేషాం. ఫార్ వన్ హూ హాస్ యాక్సెప్టెడ్ ద బోర్డ్ ఆఫ్ ద లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్, హూ ఇస్ ద షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద కాస్మిక్ మెనిఫెస్టేషన్ అండ్ ఇస్ ఫేమస్ ఎస్ మురారి ద ఎనిమీ ఆఫ్ ద డీమన్ మురా, ద ఓషన్ ఆఫ్ ద మెటల్ గోల్డ్ ఇస్ లైక్ ద వాటర్ కంటెయిన్ ఇన్ ద క్యాప్స్ ఫుట్ ప్రింట్, హిస్ గోల్ ఇస్ పరంపదం వైకుంఠ అండ్ ద ప్లేస్ వేర్ దెర్ ఆర్ నో మెటీరియల్ మిజరీస్, నాట్ దట్ ద ప్లేస్ వేర్ దెర్ ఇస్ డేంజర్ అట్ ఎవ్రీ స్టెప్. So when you remember the lotus feet of Krishna, then automatically you are going back to the Vaikuntha. Your place is not here. So I have some pictures of lotus feet. You can take darshan of beautiful lotus feet of Krishna. This is Radha Nilamadu. This is Radha Madhav. Whose lotus feet is this? Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda. Nithai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Sushitala. So, Lord Nityananda. So, let's all remember the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and you know, Radha Nila Madhava, Radha Madhava. Hare Krishna.